SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. In fact, our friend Jason just asked on Twitter about what channel on the online 964. Last we heard, I haven't heard differently, and at our website too, stevepick.com. A beautiful sunny morning here in upstate New York, and we got our little dusting of snow. And thank goodness, because yesterday evening, Tina dragged me out for a walk. It's the worst time of the year because, you know, your better half has made all these restrictions and the guys, these resolutions. So Tina, we're going for a walk, and I knew better than to resist, but now there's this icy layer of snow. So knock on wood. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And we hoofed it around town. Yeah, she's also got the Fitbit thing going on. You know, the Fitbit watch thing. She's had it all this year, but last year. But, you know, she comes home. She says, I only got in 4,000 steps. Jeez. It's my fault. You had all kinds of opportunity to walk around the school. All day yesterday. You could have gotten, 8,500 in. Instead, I get dragged for a 4 mile sojourn around Greenwich. Yeah, but she's just going to have to use the bike, I think, indoors tonight. Well, looking forward to a few visits today, in particular Andy Beyer, second half hour this morning. Andy's going to riff on the, I think, on the horse of the year discussion. So that's what he's looking to discuss, and I'm going to ask him about, I mentioned yesterday, I want to ask him about the fig for the Malibu, because I don't know. I'm curious if there was a lot, if there was a lot of tricky slide rule going on with that kind of a win, when a horse like a McKinsey wins by a handful of open lengths, and then there's the next five horses are all within a length or two of each other. It's not an easy. Sometimes not an easy number to make. So I'm curious about what went into that fig. We're going to talk to Aaron Crady from Thoroughbred Charities. And I didn't want to let this slip through the cracks, because the stallion season auction, it always starts right immediately before the Keeneland January sale, which starts Monday. And this is the most important fundraiser of the year for TCA. And they do such good work, and we visit with Aaron, typically two, three times a year at key points when they're doing the, whether it's the grants and the identification of worthy causes, and there's so many. But this auction, and then on Sunday night, they have their, before the sale, they've got their big gala as well, and there's silent auction, and there's art, and there's some of the really premium stallion seasons that that go for six figures during a live auction. But we want to let Aaron tell you about what's lined up between now and tomorrow. The auction ends at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. And if you haven't no matter where you are in the country, if you haven't looked at the this year's list of the regional stallions, I mean, all the, you know, virtually all the Kentucky stallions are represented with seasons. But wherever you are in the country, there's an option for you. And, you know, all the top stallions and new stallions in virtually every, you know, every regional breeding program is available. And that includes Irish War Cry in Maryland, and looking at New York, virtually everybody, including Central Banker, who ended up fourth on the freshman sire list. And you know, we've been talking for since Joe McMahon brought Central Banker to McMahon of Saratoga. Frank Conversation, who I think is going to be a big success, a horse that I always liked on the racetrack. It was versatile, turf and dirt. Wherever you want to go, Liaison in Oklahoma, you name it, they're all there. Ohio, which of course is Born Again Hard, every part of the country. So Aaron Crady is going to join us, and Eddie Byers, I mentioned, and then of course the Thursday lineup, Steve Haskin and Tony Black. And with Tony, I absolutely want to add to yesterday's discussion that started with Brian Corner. And in fact, I even this morning at 6 o'clock, as the replay was getting started here on Sirius XM, I wanted people that if they had missed the show yesterday to hear Corner on the blinkers. We talked about Spiced Perfection, and it really kind of expanded his approach. And then I brought it up with Proctor and with Baffert. And you got three really varied opinions and approaches to, you know, to adding blinkers to the equipment change arsenal. And the other conversation I'm going to merge in with Tony, and we brought this up a little bit, I don't know, last month at some point, maybe in the last 6 weeks or so with Tony. And we haven't had an expansive discussion about bits in a while. And I brought, at the time, when the last big opportunity to discuss bits and what they do for a horse and for the rider, and what the trainers are trying to achieve, I'm pretty sure the last time we had a full review and you know, we let an expert delve into it was when Woody Payne reached out to Woodbury and he talked about, you know, his knowledge and his approach to, you know, particularly with the young horses that he develops. And, you know, Proctor, I thought Proctor was particularly good to discuss, because Tom, you know, with his background between his father and his uncles, who were cowboys, you know, all the different kinds of bits that, you know, that hang in a tack room. And if you've never seen it, it's unbelievable, actually. I mean, it is just racks and racks of the standard equipment, but then, you know, specialty options. And each one designed for, you know, for different needs. And so I'm glad that came up. And maybe Tony, we'll let Tony expand a little bit too from a rider standpoint, and what, you know, when he's working with a trainer and you know, particularly with young horses. And this is something that goes a long way to understanding why horses can improve when given the opportunity with a new conditioner. And I know that, you know, the consensus seems to be that anybody that improves a horse is cheating. That's the in the know version. But the reality is that there's so many different ways to enhance and improve a horse. And it starts from the feet up, and then in the diet and the feeding and the general care and maintenance, and then things like the bit and getting better control of a horse. And so I'm glad that became part of the discussion yesterday. I want to get the results from the Fairgrounds card that we discussed extensively the day we wrapped up the season when Marcus Hirsch joined us. And that was the Saturday card from the 22nd at Fairgrounds. And if you know, for those of you that played it, it was absolutely well worth the attention that we gave it. And I think, to some degree, it's the results went a little bit under the radar. And so I do want to get to that. Most notably, the performance of, at the time, the two-year-old, now three, of Jinx Fires. Owner Dwight Pruitt, great attempt. The Gradar that was absolutely terrific winning the Sugar Bowl. He's a Gradar out of a Consolidator mare, bred by Wednesday, Donna Moore and Jim Richardson. And this horse won like a horse that is going to stretch out. And Jinx is looking to the southwest with Gray Attempt. So, or the Smarty. The Smarty or the... I think he said the Southwest. Anyway, I want to get to Jinx. Any opportunity to bring Jinx Fires on is worthwhile. That was one of the really interesting efforts of the day. And that Tappet colt, Cornacchia, for Brad Cox and Gainsway, the Gainsway homebred, was quite good, breaking the maiden. First asking. There was also, you know, Connor Murphy. Looks like Connor Murphy. He's always got at least one nice one, and great wide open. Was excellent winning the Diliberto. How about Brad Cox, too? Brad had Beau Recall making the first start. Slam Dunk and Medallion making it into the Mid-America. The Sir Prancelot filly, she was terrific, winning the Blushing KD. And then there was Tom's de Tot, who, as Marcus speculated, is going to be important. And Mrs. Benson, GMB Racing. It was a good day for Bridgemo. So those Fairgrounds races that we spent time on, that looked like it's going to be a very productive day. We'll talk to some of those people here when we get the chance. Right now, we're going to take a break and come back with Aaron Crady, Thoroughbred Charities of America, their stallion auction, Andy Beyer, and much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and catch the summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here we go down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone.
Coming up on 20 into this Thursday, day two of 19 for us on the broadcast side, and always got to be on our toes at the beginning of the year because the TCA, the Thoroughbred Charities of America, they run their stallion auction always this first week ahead of the January sale, and it's going to end tomorrow. The online stallion auction, it's the principal fundraiser for TCA, and Aaron Crady joins us as always. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. I didn't want to miss this opportunity. The window here, you know, the next, 30 hours, because 3 o'clock tomorrow, the online version of the auction ends, and whether you've got mares in Kentucky or whether you're in a regional program, this is always not just a good opportunity, but it's also a great way to contribute to the industry because TCA, you know, this is your big fundraiser.
That's right. We like to start the year off with a bang every year. You know, this is our 29th annual Stallion Season Auction fundraiser, and as you mentioned, that's right, it is our largest annual fundraiser of the year, and we've got something for everyone. You know, if you're in the breeding game, we've got over 200 seasons this year in multiple states. But then we also offer a whole list of non-season items, everything from memorabilia to halters to everything in between. So we do certainly have something for everyone. And, you're right, the online stallion season auction does end tomorrow at 3 p.m. So everyone needs to get their bids in today and tomorrow before 3.
What's amazing about this is that, the obvious names that are on the list, and of course the super premium seasons will be live auctioned on Sunday night. We'll get to the gala, but you look at this list, and there, I always look, and there's always bargains when you know when crunch time comes, and so it's absolutely worth tracking, and you know, for those that have bought before, they know what to do. What about somebody that might be doing this for the first time?
Sure, absolutely. You can always call us, and we're happy to assist, but probably the easiest thing to do is start off by visiting our website, and that's tca.org. There on the homepage, you'll see a link to the 29th Annual Stallion Season Auction, and on that page, you can kind of choose your own adventure, if you will. If you'd like to see a list of available stallion seasons, you can click there, and that will take you through to Starquine, who is our auction platform and a wonderful partner. We appreciate all of the support from Starquine. And you can register to bid there on Starquine. It is free. You just enter your contact information, a username, a password, and then you have the opportunity to peruse the multitude of seasons available. You can sort them by name, by state. You know, there's lots of different functions there. We try to make it as user-friendly and easy as possible. Tomorrow, actually, concurrently with the online auction, we will offer telephone bidding assistance. So from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow, you can also call us. We'll have some operators standing by, and we will take bids over the phone and then essentially bid online on your behalf. If you recall, many years ago when the Stallion Season Auction was started with our co-founders, Herb and Ellen Molis, it was exclusively a telephone auction. So that part of it is a bit of a holdover from years past. So we're here to help through the duration of the auction, and as always.
In addition, as you mentioned, you know, to this, the auction items of the on the stallion front, there's also trips and all kinds of other associated fun things that anybody that goes to any fundraiser, all the predictable options are out there. And on Sunday night, talk about the live gala portion of this, the celebration.
Sure. So what happens is five select seasons will carry over to the live auction celebration, 5 p.m. on Sunday evening at Keeneland. We invite people to come as they are from the sale. You know, you don't have to get all dolled up. Just come on over and support TCA. We will sell a limited number of tickets at the door, but we would suggest that perhaps you go onto our website and purchase tickets ahead of time. But there at the live auction, we've got select seasons including Blame, Bolt d'Oro, Gunrunner, Cantharos, and More Than Ready. And these seasons, last I heard, they were sold out on the farm. So, you know, if you're looking for one of these seasons, the auction is the place to get it for sure. But then in addition to those select seasons, we do have several non-season items available. Some of the live auction non-season items include a John Deere Gator, equine air transportation from Tech Sutton. We've got a five-night stay at a bed and breakfast in Costa Rica. We have a buyer's choice of a Dodge Ram or a Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport year lease. I mean, some really cool items. Some artwork from Crossgates Gallery, an Andre Potter painting there. Brookledge has donated two box stalls departing from Kentucky, California, Florida, or New York. And then, you know, all of the mobile bidding options online there will run through the duration of the celebration on Sunday. We've got halters, Monomoy Girl, Justify. This is really cool. We've got a Scat Daddy yearling halter, American Pharaoh's halter, Enable. Judmont Superstar Philly there. We've got an Able halter. So, yeah, so many great things to support TCA.
Nice. And explain for those, I mean, we've had this conversation for years, but Aaron, explain the beneficiaries and the various areas of grants that TCA, the beneficiaries.
Sure. So this auction really starts our 2019 grant cycle. So TCA, we are a grant-making organization. We provide funding to approve charities across the country that meet our criteria. And we support organizations in really across the gamut of the thoroughbred industry, not only in the aftercare category, but we also support organizations that provide health and human services to backstretch and farm workers, organizations like Belmont Child Care Association, Bluegrass Farms Charities, those organizations that are doing really important work for really what can be considered the backbone of our industry. Our workers are so vital, as we all know. We also support organizations that use thoroughbreds to provide equine-assisted therapy services. I mean, there's some amazing work that's being done out there right now in that field. You know, horses are incredible healers, so we like to support the organizations that are using thoroughbreds for that purpose as well. So, yeah, it all for a good cause. This is really kicking off our 2019 year with our largest annual fundraiser, and then we raise the money, and then we you know, grant it out to approved charities.
Well, and you mentioned the Mulises, and I did see maybe it was even this morning that Take Two, the New York program, an award win.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that. We, at the celebration on Sunday, we do honor two organizations or individuals with awards each year. And this year, the Ellen and Herb Mulis Industry Service Award is going to the Take Two Second Career Thoroughbred Program. Of course, an amazing organization there, started by Rick Violette. In New York. So we'll have Andy Belfiore on hand mm-hmm. to accept the award. And, you know, they're doing great things, because not only do we need to provide funding for rehab, retraining, and rehoming, but we also have to support the organizations that are creating a demand and creating a market for thoroughbreds after their lives on the track are over. So, you know, Take Two, certainly a worthy recipient. We also are honoring with the Allaire DuPont Leadership Award, Ellen J. Foxwoods, who is actually also the title sponsor of the auction. Ellen J. Foxwoods has just been such a huge supporter of TCA. Can't say enough good about who they are and what they do. Of course, they've created our Horses First Fund back in 2016, that has been so instrumental in helping over the past couple years with the many sort of natural disasters that have affected our thoroughbreds. So we'll have two incredible award winners on hand there at the gala, the celebration on Sunday evening.
Well, and the Roth family really has been a wonderful addition to the ownership landscape, and has really, you know, feet first into, you know, the various organs for, you know, the underpinnings of support for the game. And I think Jamie, in fact, on TCA board, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And of course, acknowledging the work of Rick Violette, that may be going on all year every time there's an opportunity like this, and Andy, of course, at his side for years, making these things happen, and you know, the initiative of the Take Two program. You know, we've retired two horses into it ourselves, and it's been a mammoth success here in New York. So two really worthy worthy recipients. Well, Aaron, as always, I wanted to make sure people were aware, because, you know, the new year starts and you hit the ground running, so you didn't want to miss this. And if you go to tca.org, and right there at the top of the page, you'll find the link to the complete list of the stallions and everything else, all the, you know, the regional opportunities: Maryland, Ohio, New York, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, Indiana, Arizona. Look at that. Distorted reality standing in Arizona, and so forth. Some Canadian stallions as well. So this is it's a good opportunity, and it'll do good work. You're going to cover your mare anyway. So Take advantage
of
this opportunity.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Right?
Well, no guarantee seasons. Yeah, very good.
Perfect. Well, Aaron, best wishes to the organization for the year. I know we'll talk more, and well done, as always.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your support.
Not at all. Aaron Crady from the Thoroughbred Charities of America. Bottom of the hour here. Let's take a break and come right back with Andy Beyer. And Andy's going to sound off, I think, a little bit. And we're happy to provide that that platform for the great Andy Beyer. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Been beat up and battered around. Been sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable. Situation's tolerable. Baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care. I'm
We're
so
back at the races. 25 minutes to the top of the hour, and it's always about this time every year that we bring Andy Beyer in to sum up the previous year, and they'll be announcing the finalists for Horse of the Year and the rest of the Eclipse categories on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock at Gulfstream. And voting had to be concluded by yesterday, so everybody got their votes in. And we say Happy New Year to Andy Beyer, first and foremost.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Steve. Good to be back.
I appreciate it. New year, Andy, and of course, you know, we'll hand out the hardware in 3 weeks. But I know that you know, there's some areas of contention and discussion, and I wanted you to weigh in.
Well, I think I know the way the Horse of the Year voting is is going to go, and I think the voters are going to make a bad decision. I could not vote for Justify for Horse of the Year, and I think it would really be a great injustice for him to win the title over Accelerate. I don't doubt that Justify was cut out to be a great horse. I mean, even before he started, I mean, just the buzz that everybody who had seen him, from the Windstar Farm people to Bob Baffert, you know, to the California Clockers who watched him every morning. I mean, he was supposed to be something special, and when he won the Santa Anita Derby with a figure of 107, I thought he would, would quickly go on to greatness. But, you know, but he did his performances in the Triple Crown races were not championship caliber performances by any means, you know, by any way you look at them. I mean, the his speed figures, you know, were, you know, extremely low. I mean, his Preakness figure was the lowest we'd given the Preakness. His Belmont and Derbies were way below par for the race. And if you're not a speed figure person, look at the horses that he was working hard to beat. I mean, he was kind of life and death to hold on in the Preakness and beat Bravazo, who never won a race after that, and finished his year with 9 losses in a row. I mean, he beat Gronkowski in the Belmont Stakes, who never won another race. You can't look at these races on their own merit, you know, or race by race, and say this was a great performance about any of them. And I know everybody is hypnotized by the fact that he won the Triple Crown, the great prize in American racing. But to me, a horse has to run great races, and a 3-year-old has to step in against older company, you know, to prove himself. I mean, I had reservations about American Pharoah, but when he won the Breeders' Cup Classic, I mean, that cinched his status. But Justify didn't, and I'll tell you, slow wins over Bravazo and Gronkowski, you know, just don't get you the Horse of the Year title.
Well, Andy, there's a lot of ways to parse this, and I, before we talk about some historic context, the whether it was the brevity or the intensity, I'm hard pressed not to acknowledge the unique accomplishment that Justify achieved here. And you know, with history against him, you know, to debut in February and do what he did, it that isn't enough of a singular accomplishment to win a Horse of the Year against a textbook kind of a older champion in Accelerate.
Well, you know, I think that we think of the Triple Crown as a defining achievement of great horses, and when you look when you look back at the age of champions and Secretariat and Affirmed and Seattle Slew, and then the long gap, before there was another Triple Crown, whether you say, oh, well, regardless of who he beat or how fast he ran, this is a great feat. I think the Triple Crown has changed, and I would bet if we're still around and talking 10 years from now, we're going to see at least a couple more Triple Crown winners, and we're going to realize that in the modern day, the Triple Crown has, one, become easier to win, and it's less of an achievement, and it is so for a couple reasons. Nobody wants to run in the nobody who runs in the Derby and loses wants to run in the Preakness anymore. Every trainer today wants to gives his horse maximum time between races, and so we've had lots of situations where horses just kind of get a pass in the Preakness. And in the old days, I mean, there used to be creatures called mile-and-a-half horses who were bred for stamina, you know, who would be waiting in the wings to take on a horse pursuing the Triple Crown. Now, horses just aren't bred to go a mile-and-a-half anymore. I mean, you don't have that... The quality of the fields in the Belmont have been so weak. The race has been won by so many poor horses in recent years. I mean, to call it the test of a championship is just an anachronism. So the fact of winning the Triple Crown and saying, okay, you can rest on your laurels now and retire it, you know, in June and be hailed as America's greatest horse, that just doesn't get it anymore. And, I wasn't like a giant Accelerate fan. I don't think this horse was as good as the last couple horses of the year what we've had. But he ran seven times. He won six. And lost a photo finish to a very good horse in City of Light. You know, he ran triple-digit speed figures every time. He had figures of 110, 111, 115 on the way. I mean, that's a legitimate horse of the year resume. And to me, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic is the definitive test of top horses in this country. It's not the Triple Crown.
Well, I don't disagree that they both have their singular, place in the scheme of evaluating horses' achievement. The historic context that I would bring up, and I'm curious about, who did you vote for in 2001? It was Point Given's resume, because he never got to face, did get to run after the Triple Crown, but was his Haskell and Travers, was that enough to make him Horse of the Year for you that year?
I would have to go back and
check the notes.
but generally, no, that's not the, he'd be a worthy 3-year-old champion, but, unless there's no alternative, I don't want to give a horse the Horse of the Year title on the basis of 3-year-old form alone. There is such a huge gap between 3-year-olds in the spring and mature older horses. It's like I always I would never vote for a filly to be horse of the year unless she'd beaten males, because we know there's a significant difference in you know, in the quality of competition in open race, between open races and races limited to fillies and mares. And it's, so it's the same thing with 3-year-olds against older. You know, I mean, you got to do it. You you know, you've got to show you can beat the best, not just say, well, gee, if he'd run a full campaign and it improved, he could have done it. Probably he could have, maybe he could have, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to give Justifier a horse like that, you know, credit unless he actually does it.
I want to go back for a second to the Triple Crown itself, and you know, you focused in on the Preakness and the Belmont. I think maybe the visuals in the Preakness did a disservice, but to my way of thinking, Eddie, that performance was really the one that was kind of defining. It basically engaged by good magic every step of the way, and when he rebuffs him, you know, he's then got some horses, you know, that are clunking up at him and you know, running at him late. I thought that, you know, I thought that was actually
If you just looked at the fractions, you would have made that argument. But if you watch the race, remember, good magic held on for second. Horses, this was not a Kentucky Derby with a fast pace that took a toll on all the speed horses. So
I'm referencing the Preakness, though. I thought the way he was engaged, the way the two of them went at it, you know, for the vast majority of the Preakness, I thought that was really the defining moment for him in the Triple Crown.
I don't want to seem to be a purely fig guy, but it was the lowest. The lowest figure in Preakness history of 97, and I don't care
how it was achieved.
He won a duel. He beat Bravazo in tenfold. I mean, you don't have to be heroic to hold those horses off. I'd like to say one more thing about the. About the Derby and the Triple Crown. I mean, you know, for a long time, I always believed. I think most handicappers always believed that winning the Derby demanded a real level of serious level of fitness and experience. And I always believed in the curse of Apollo. You had to run as a 2-year-old. You had to have a 2-year-old bottom. And you look at the great horses of the past who won the Derby. Like Secretariat ran 8 times as a 2-year-old. I mean, he ran 3 times at Saratoga, which is more than a lot of horses nowadays run in their whole 2-year-old seasons. And as horses have become raced more and more sparingly, they have light 2-year-old campaigns, they have light 3-year-old campaigns going into the Derby. I mean, some horses have only 2 prep races. They don't run as well. And I think starting in about a decade ago, running, giving horses lots of time between races just became the orthodoxy in racing. I think that the horses who have won the Triple Crown races, haven't given great performances. In my view, because they didn't have the fitness that horses used to have, and when they came into the Triple Crown series. I mean, the last horse who ran, I mean, it used to be that, I mean, like, historically, the average winning figure in the Derby was usually in the 110 range. I mean, the last horse who ran a figure of 110 in any Triple Crown race the last two were in 2007, Street Sense and Curlin. And now you have all these races are being run in the low hundreds. And it's not that the horses are worse. I mean, when you look at Arrogate and Gun Runner, and of course American Pharoah. I mean, horses who by the late in the season, when they had a sufficient amount of experience, were capable of running figures in the 120 range. But I'm just not impressed by. By the quality of the quality of these Triple Crown races with all these lightly raced horses. Maybe I'm just
no,
nostalgic for the good old days, but that's my theory of all the low figs in these races in recent years.
And that's almost a bit of a separate article, a separate discussion to some degree.
Yeah.
But my defense of my own vote for Justify as horse of the year. I mean, if we're going to make it fig based, he's the only 3-year-old that had as many triple digit figs, triple digit buyers as anybody. He had 5. I mean, nobody else had more than 3. I don't believe, and
he's a worthy 3-year-old champion.
That I get.
All I can say.
All right, let's hit a couple of other categories. Then I've got a specific question. There's a couple of categories, Andy, that are really murky, and the turf. There was such an array of horses that only won two or three nice grade one type turf races. You want to talk about a division that was just that showed. Little consistency from the start to finish. The filly and mare division, the distaffers, problematic. Touch on a couple of the other ballots where you might have had some difficulty.
Well, I thought the emphasis that American racetracks have put on turf racing, the horses who were the candidates for the champion turf male was just about the worst lineup of contenders for an Eclipse Award. I mean, I wanted to leave my ballot blank, but I decided, well, when we've got the biggest turf figure of the year in this category, I'll be the one person in America who votes for Stormy Liberal for this category. I mean, at least the Breeders' Cup Sprint was a really kind of phenomenal race. I know people looked at that figure of 119 and said, many may have said the buyer boys have lost their mind, but this was the best turf sprint we've ever seen, and when you look at the huge margins in that field, it was just an extraordinary race. So I'm sure Stormy Liberal's vote total will be one.
No, he's got backers, Andy. He's got backers. He's got backers.
But at least he did something
noteworthy.
Did something exceptional, and nobody else did. Older females, I don't know. I mean, it was Abel Tasman's category to win, but she ran so dismally.
Yep.
I voted for Unique Bella because she always runs some big races earlier in the year, but she was really a little too lightly raced for my taste. But this was just not a good.
Yeah, it was tough. I agree. I ended up going to Blue Prize. And I thought that, you want a horse that ran from the beginning of the year to the end and acquitted herself nicely. I felt the same way, and I could not bring myself to vote for Abel Tasman or Unique Bella. So I wanted to give a nod to Nacho Correas and Blue Prize. I felt the same way.
The racist Blue Prize won, I guess. That spinster was not a great field. I mean, their Blue Prize's figs were
mediocre, moderate,
but this category, you can knock anybody's selection.
There you go. Let's do a fig based conversation for a minute, because of course the Malibu, whether you consider opening day at Santa Anita the year end or the beginning of the new year, the Malibu performance by McKenzie was exceptional. And Andy Serling and I later that evening were knocking around the number, and I'm sure that you played with it and looked hard at it. It had to be a little tricky to make that figure, and I'm curious.
No, it was really a very straightforward.
Okay.
Straightforward day of figures, and when you look at that, he wins big, but the runner up, Identity Politics, gets a 95 running second. His previous career best was a 96. The third horse, Still Having Fun, gets a 94. His previous career best was a 95. So it all, all the numbers fit together. I mean, I think, first it's Baffert, the horse who had, a big figure early in the year. I mean, I could see him going on to be a four-year-old champion, but this particular race was just, to me, just a good stepping stone. It was not a knock-your-socks-off figure.
Talked to Baffert yesterday, and, it's hard not to play the what-if game with him. He what if McKenzie had been healthy, through the middle part of the year? Because obviously this is this is one of those talents. You really like a horse like this that's certainly solid through a mile and an eighth. We'll see about his mile and a quarter aptitude, either in Dubai or at the end of next year in Breeders' Cup Classic. But you got to love a horse that does this, that wins at 7/8 and cutting back and then he'll stretch back out. I like this kind of horse.
He certainly could be a star of the future. I won't question that.
Well,
and I did vote for Baffert for leading trainer. I don't
did you really?
If Chad Brown wins a million races, I mean the. Chad obviously had a sensational year and, has got great stats. But, Baffert's, the number of good horses that Baffert, developed was, this fall, every week there was a new 2-year-old running tremendously. But I think one of the things that when you're comparing Baffert against the other two big guys, Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown, you look at the number of horses that they have in their care during the course of the year. And it's like, Chad and Todd, have all the horses. I mean, they have 200 or 300 different horses, in their barn in the course of the year. I mean, Baffert has a relatively small operation compared to the big guys, and he gets just such, you know, such tremendous mileage with a, you know, with a smaller nucleus of horses to work with. I mean, it's not just a numbers game with him. So he, you know, he gets my vote most of the time.
Well, and just to the final, I don't have the final numbers in front of me, but in a, at some point in December, last time I looked, maybe like 10 days ago, basically Baffert had about as half as many starters as Chad did.
Look at you know, if you're looking at Formulator, just looking at the total number of individual horses that have, you know, been in the care of big trainers in the course of the year. I mean, of course, Steve Asmussen always leads that list, but he has so many claiming horses who are in and out of the barn. I mean, that's kind of a different category. But,
sure.
You know, just the magnitude of the operations of Todd and Chad is just kind of almost unprecedented in this country. And so, you know, for Baffert to do what he has done with half the horsepower, his performance as a trainer has just been stunning.
Well, there's no doubt, and it looks like he's poised. As we said to him yesterday, he seems poised for more of the same this year. The outlandish, you know, 24 two-year-old winners by the end of the year, and then he popped another one. That Judmont filly looks like she's going to be a nice horse. That Anuket was the latest to be unveiled, and I'm sure he's not done. Although I did ask him, are there any potential unraced types? And he said no. There's no. He said everybody that seems to have talent at this point now has made a start. So he doesn't. He says there's no other surprises.
We won't have to worry about the curse of Apollo then.
Never again, right? We can put that chestnut permanently away. Andy, as always, provocative and intelligent and intriguing. I wish you the best of luck this year, and we look forward to catching up soon.
Okay, good talking to you, Steve. Bye-bye.
Always great. Andy Beyer, everybody. And that's Andy's, you know, his opinion is always going to, it's going to be unshakable. That's for sure. Nothing I was going to say was going to shake. Tony Black's going to be next. And I know Tony was listening because he sent me a text or two. But I thought the Preakness in a lot of ways, much in the same way that, you know, I brought up Point Given, you know, when Point Given had to gut out the Haskell win, and he was basically on three legs. I mean, he wasn't 100%, and that was a heroic effort. I thought that the Preakness, and you know, one of the other things here about that Preakness that needs to be reinforced is the, you know, the little hoof, you know, hoof gate after the Derby, and you know, that he had to, you know, not that the horse isn't fit coming out of Derby into Preakness, but I'm not as fig oriented. I mean, I certainly am fig oriented for handicapping, but I don't have the same concern about, you know, how big the fig needed to be coming out of, you know, out of a performance. Got a 107 in the Santa Anita Derby. He debuted with a 104. I mean, that if you're concerned that he didn't run fast enough, that he wasn't fast enough, quote unquote, I don't know. I've got a different view of this. Steve Haskin and Tony Black will certainly weigh in. Tony next. Steve to follow. Rich Yang, too. We'll get Rich's. You know, Rich has been voting in eclipses for a long, long time. And don't worry, those of you that want to question Andy's judgment, that's all right, including my man Luch. Although we can't call him Luch anymore. Did you see the news that it's Luch Racing, LOOOCH, is giving way to the new Ron Paolucci Racing. So I think we're all still gonna call him Luch, but it's got the new button down. I'm wondering if this is going to mean that Ron will wear shirts with a collar to the racetrack. That's the important question. Take a break. Back after this, Tony Black.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Sportsbills.com. Sirius XM Sports.
Time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.